one good thing to do when me and my wife are talking through something is for me, after she's gone, to say, so this is what I hear you saying. Because most of the times, or a lot of times, what I'm hearing is not what she's saying, and vice versa. So it's a good thing to say, well, this is what I hear you saying, so that you both understand what you're trying to get across. God bless. Love you guys.
Hey, listen, man, you're learning, as we all do. Smart men learn after they get married. There's a lot of lessons that we learn after we get married. In fact, we've done some shows on that. And one of them is learning how to communicate. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Today, we're going to talk about communication and, in particular, how to communicate with our spouse, how to read them, you know, how to communicate in a way that they understand, they connect, we connect with them and them with us. The power of communication. One of my friends from the past who had written several books, including a book called Communication is the Key to Marriage, Norm Wright, really spoke to this topic. It's a powerful one. So, hey, listen, we welcome your comments today on our storyline live right now. And the question is, how do we communicate effectively, intentionally in our marriage? Or maybe the question is, how do you do it? What's one thing that helps you communicate effectively with your spouse? I'd love to have you share at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717 on our storyline. The calls for the show today are already set. This is a best of show, but your comments are always welcome, especially now at 888-888-1717. You know, if it's true that communication is the key to marriage, it's worth putting some effort into it. We know that communication is a problem in business. It's a problem in government. It's a problem in our world today. Either things are being said not being understood, or being said in a way that they build a wall. And when that happens in the world, we see the results. When it happens in our marriage, you feel the results. And so today, helping us be effective in communicating with our spouse. All right, let's get started. We have Denise on the line who's joined us. Denise, welcome to the program. What have you learned about communicating with your husband?
Well, my husband and I have been married almost 28 years, and in our first couple months, we've taken premarital classes and all that. Both strong Christian families raised, and we were sure we had it down. And in the first couple weeks, we realized we were talking about totally different things. He would say, do you want some french fries? In the drive-thru, and I'd say no, and then I'd eat his, and he would say, well, I would have bought a bigger one if you said yes. Or when he said, you know, where do you want to have dinner? I'd say, I don't care. He said, well, I get to decide, but I do care. I want to have a discussion. And I realized, we both realized early on, we were having completely different conversations without even knowing it.
So there's two different, like you say, two different conversations going on. So how did you solve it in your marriage?
Well, the problem for women is I think we somehow think all of our husbands are mind readers. And so early on, I think he learned it faster than I did. And he would say, okay, I know you said you don't care, but I was thinking Mexican. And so he realized we need a conversation. Or, I know you said you don't want any french fries. Is that because you're not hungry, or because you think you don't really want them, but you might eat them? And if you do, I'll just buy a bigger one. We can throw them away if we don't eat them. And I realized, gosh, I think he's some kind of magic genie, and I'm trying to set him up for failure, and I didn't mean to. I just didn't realize that he wasn't speaking the same language I was.
Hey, listen, I think, Denise, that if you can get the french fry thing solved, it's sort of a pattern for the bigger stuff in life. But I think Denise's call illustrates that it's sometimes in those little areas that we start to develop these misunderstandings. I thought you meant, or why didn't you say, or you said this when you really meant that. You've heard me say, if you've been to one of my conferences at Intentional Living, you've heard me say that I judge myself by my intentions, right? But you're judging me by your expectations. And so if my intentions are, well, I thought I communicated, I thought I was clear, my intention was good, but your expectation was that I would be, well, maybe more clear, or we would spend time discussing it. And if the expectation is not met, that creates disappointment. When my intention was good, well, you could see what happened. This is what's happening in marriages all the time. What do you wrestle with? What have you found that works? Or maybe you have a question for me. Intentional Living has one goal. That's to help you be intentional, to be successful, in this case, in your marriage. Give me a call. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. We got Patricia on the line. And let me see. She's in Michigan. Patricia, how can I help you today?
Well, my question is, how do you communicate? My husband's not a Christian. I am. We've been married for 30 years. I try to listen carefully and repeat what he says, But he's one of those people that whatever he says is right, and whatever I say, if it doesn't agree perfectly with him, is wrong. And I need to know how to biblically get around that barrier so that God can reach him.
Well, a great deal of patience. Obviously, if your goal is to reach him spiritually, to reach him for Christ, that's never an excuse, however, for having poor communication, just being a non-Christian. There's a lot of non-believers who are great communicators. They communicate very well. And there's a lot of people who love God deeply and go to church, and they're terrible communicators. They haven't learned how to do it. So it's not just a function of being a Christian or a non-Christian. Do you guys have time when you get together and talk about important things?
Not much.
Okay.
He's not interested in talking about important things.
And so you feel isolated on, obviously, your spiritual life, but other things you'd like to talk about.
Right.
So who do you talk to?
I'm in a Bible study, ladies' Bible study, and three of us got together because we all have similar husbands and we have similar needs so that we can share them in safety with no one else.
Okay. It's not a beat-up-the-husband kind of a group, is it?
No. We share our concerns. We pray about it. We pray for each other for the areas that we need to be working on for our husbands.
And that's good. You know, I do think that when you have an opportunity to pray for your marriage, for your spouse, is a good thing. But I ask that question because your group may not be, but some are. They become gossip places and places where, frankly, men are not going to be too thrilled to know their wives are getting together to talk about their husband in a negative way. Not that yours does, as you said, but some do. As you can imagine, that can be the other way around. Guys can do it as well. Let me suggest this for you, Patricia, that may be helpful. One thing, right? One thing that might be helpful. So often, and this is, I'm giving you a real typical kind of a scenario. It doesn't always work this way. The man feels overwhelmed sometimes because if he starts to communicate, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that's on the table and he gets overwhelmed. And we kind of departmentalize things. Can I suggest maybe you keep a little list together of some topics, of some things you want to talk about? Maybe the kids, the grandkids, maybe it's the finance. Maybe it's a good thing. You know, it could be some positive thing you want to talk about. And set a specific time as a couple each week, maybe two nights a week for just a half hour, and you take one thing off the list and say, hey, can we just talk about this one thing? That's it, just one thing. And when the clock is finished and the bell goes off, that's it. It's the end of discussion so you don't get stuck, okay? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Ooh, it looks to me like we have a surprise phone call. We're going to get to that. Stay tuned. We're going to get to that in just a moment right after this.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life, too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
The one thing that we do for our relationship is we have a daily scripture that we each find our own daily scripture to share with each other that applies to the day or applies to something we're going through. And I think that really helps strengthen our marriage. Thank you.
You know, what you do when you do that is you focus on the same thing. You're in an agreement. You're thinking about one thing together. And of course, it's a godly thing, a spiritual thing. And boy, that's a powerful one thing, getting into scripture and talking about it every day. You know, as we think about the power of one thing, I wrote a whole book on that topic, and I created a little wristband for myself that I wear every day, a little purple wristband that says one thing on it, just as a reminder to ask myself, what's your one thing today, Randy, that's important, that's going to help you grow in your relationship with Donna and with your kids and with God? And I'd like to send you one. If you will make a commitment for one thing to communicate with your spouse for the next 30 days, I'll send this to you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com/WB and we'll get that to you. Again, go to theintentionallife.com/WB for wristband and we'll send that to you.
If I could do one thing to improve my marriage, it would be to take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit. When my emotions start running high, and what they normally mean is I'm not getting my way or things aren't going as I expect them, or I'm a little tired. If I'd only take that time to listen, I know things would be better, not only in my marriage, my relationship with Christ, and with the other people around me.
My husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient, and that has opened up our lines of communication. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive.
Planned spontaneity builds intimacy in relationships, especially in marriage. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. People chuckle when I say planned spontaneity, but it is a tip for those of us who are head people. If we don't plan it, it doesn't get done. You know, people say that spontaneity builds intimacy and closeness in marriage, but sometimes if you don't sit down and get your calendar out and put it on the calendar, even the best of intentions never get done. And so this tip of putting planned spontaneity into your marriage can be something that will be very positive in building intimacy in your marriage. Because if you don't plan it, it may never happen. So here's one thing, a challenge for you for these next 30 days and maybe for the next 6 months in your marriage. Plan it. Sit down and think about one thing you want to do that will appear to be very spontaneous, but will be very loving and a surprise to your spouse. And then do it. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
We're talking communication in marriage. I can't think of anything much more important to communicate about life, about relationships, about the future, about finance, about the kids. Communication means what's said is understood, and there's an intimacy that occurs around communication. Poor communication will destroy any relationship, and a marriage relationship is especially painful when it's not including good communication. What works for you? What doesn't? Do you have a question for me? Our phone line is open at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. I'm smiling. I commented before the break. I think we have a surprise call here. Kevin, welcome to the program. It looks to me like your wife, Denise, was our first caller today. Is that right?
Yes, I was driving in my truck and listening, and there was my wife.
Oh, so you didn't know she was calling?
No.
All right. Well, those who didn't hear her, she talked about you guys learned early on that you could be in the same room but talking about different things. What's your take on all this, Kevin?
Well, she's right. We had to learn how to talk so that the other one was having the same conversation that you were having.
So how do you do it as a man?
Well, one of the things that I learned is that sometimes she'll want to talk about her day or about some event that happened. And I found that I was always looking for a solution when she was just looking to purge, just to talk, just to get it out of her system. And I had to learn to listen.
Which sounds ridiculous to many men. Why do you want to just say something without fixing it?
Right.
Yeah, all right. So you've learned just to listen.
We don't have to fix everything. Sometimes she just wants to talk, and I just need to listen. And that has made me appreciate her a lot more and made me appreciate what the scripture says about listen swiftly or listen quickly.
How has doing this, working on this intentionally in your marriage, made a difference in your relationship?
Well, it's allowed us to enjoy every moment that we have together. She's the one that I want to hang out with. I don't feel the need to have alone time. We value the time that we get to spend together.
Well, hey, listen, Kevin, I'm glad you were driving along and heard your wife. I wonder how often that happens. Thank you for your call, man. I hope Denise kept the radio on as well. You guys have something to talk about now when you get together, don't you? Hey, listen, communication, I think both Denise and her husband, Kevin, demonstrate that. I mean, the fact that they're willing to get on the radio, they gave you a little piece of how they both approached this communication thing. He woke up to the fact that he was looking for solutions when she was looking just to talk. And as I said to Kevin, I think that drives some men clearly up the wall. Don't understand, if there's a problem, let's just solve it, you know? And I know I'm generalizing, but how many, come on, guys, you could raise your hand. How many times have you come home and maybe from work or whatever, and you've asked your wife how things are going? She said, fine. Really not fine, but instead of stopping and going a little deeper and unpack what fine really means, You kind of accept it at face value and move on. And she's feeling or sensing that, hey, didn't you tell in the inflection of my voice that fine really wasn't fine? And so we laugh about these things, but I'll tell you what happens at the end of the day. This communication thing is a huge, huge deal. I share a story from many, many years ago about an older couple who came to me many years ago. And at the end of the first session, I could see they were clearly not communicating. And she brought up the fact that 25 years earlier, he had said one thing that she had lingered on, had heard, that was so disturbing, upsetting to her. Man, he was clueless. He had no idea what he had said. He couldn't remember, and certainly willing to apologize and move on. But we can get this stuff stuck in our lives, and when we do, it creates a huge problem. All right, let's go to, Mary Ann, right? Mary Ann is on the line in Arizona. Welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What have you learned about communication, Mary Ann?
Well, I am in an amazing marriage, and it is not my first. And I have realized through the years that I grew up in an environment where there was a lot of nitpicking going on. Mm. And I just automatically did that in my previous marriage. And I did a lot of growth and soul searching and found an amazing man and heard on a public television segment that the happiest couples that Wayne Dyer was actually the person that he knew were people who praised each other, who talked about each other in positive ways and talked about their marriage in a positive way.
Sure, that's right.
And that was like a huge light bulb for me. And my husband and I do that daily. I mean, we are just amazed at how blessed we are to have found each other and to have found the love that we have. And when there are times when something is happening that I'm not real happy with or he's not real happy with, I know for myself, and I'm sure he does the same, I focus. I train my mind to say, okay, stop focusing on what you don't like and remember the things that you fell in love with,
Yeah.
And it really does help bring your mind back to that positive.
Absolutely. Marianne, I could think as a little kid, in Sunday school, we would sing the song, "What Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." And that should happen in our marriage as well. Just think about, and I tell couples who are focusing on some problems because marriage has problems, it's easy to focus on all of the things, the laundry list of things you don't like about your spouse, the things you'd like to see different about your spouse, but to stop from time to time and say, hey, listen, here's some things I really appreciate, faithfulness or hard work or loyalty or whatever those things are that you really appreciate, to be able to focus on those things. It's like a thermostat in your house, in the wintertime, you need to turn it up to get a little warmer and down in the summer to get it cooler. But what happens with communication, when we have good communication in a way that's positive, that's productive, that's really loving, we can raise the temperature in a healthy way. And if you want to have a cold relationship, have a lot of negativity in your marriage, it certainly doesn't work. Okay, Mary Ann, thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We're talking about marriage communication. We got Kaylee on the line. We'll get to Kaylee in a moment. You're welcome to join us as well. Talk about communication. 888-888-1717.
Hello. What works for my wife and I in our marriage is after our evening meal, we have a quiet time where we sit together in the living room, we look at each other and make eye contact, and we talk about the highlights of our day, what went well, and we talk about our plans for the next day, and we just tell each other we love each other, and I think that's the most important thing, is making a special time to just talk and to look and to listen. Thank you.
If we're going to be a mission in the ministry to help people find the purpose, right, live their purpose, and then finish strong, and a part of that is having a dream for your life or having goals for your life, because we all know that those are things that we're supposed to be doing, what does God have to say about this, and what can we learn from Scripture that'll be very practical when it comes to setting goals and having a dream for your marriage and your family and your relationships and so on?
Excerpt, Pursuing a dream worth pursuing. And what has God placed on your heart as a dream? You know, the Bible tells us that he'll give us the desires of our heart, but there's a little requisite there. It's if we delight ourselves in him. By the way, here's an interesting Bible study for you all who are interested. Look at the number of verses in Scripture and teachings in Scripture that are conditional. And what I mean by that is God's blessing is conditioned on something that we do, either trusting him, following him, obeying him, rejecting something else in our life, because he knows these things can be roadblocks or open passageways for us in our lives to better things. So there's a little Bible study idea for you. There's many, and it's good, and it's intentional living for sure. Thank you for your support, members. Thank you. God bless you. Some of you give so generously, and you have for years, and you stick with it every month. And I love you guys who, and ladies and couples and singles that say, hey, I'm just going to do it on the auto-giving program through your EFT or through credit card, and you just do it automatically, and thank you. Just whatever God lays on your heart. We want you to be a part of it as we journey this thing together.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right, Kaylee's on the line in Arizona talking marriage communication today. Hi, Kaylee.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Go right ahead.
I'm having a really hard time communicating with my husband. This is it's never been easy since we got married. It'll be a year in July, but divorce was brought right on the table first day we got married. Oh. So it's been really hard. Later on, I learned that, you know, he was using that move or that, you know, that the D word to hurt me. And it's just been really hard to recover and to, like, renew, you know, just try to renew our relationship every day, just trying to forgive them for. Mm-hmm.
Is it in his heart, in your heart, to make this marriage work at the deep level? But for both of you?
For both of us, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I really do believe that, you know, okay. we want, you know, a happy marriage where we can love each other for the rest of our lives.
So early on, things were said, the D word, as you said, used, very damaging to your spirit, to your heart. And he knows that? He recognizes that now?
Yeah, we had probably, you know, within the last, you know, 10 months, it's been used over a dozen times.
Yeah.
And, you know, he admitted to me that, you know, he would say it to hurt my feelings.
Well, it's powerful. It's the nuclear weapon, if you please, of a marriage. I mean, it's the ultimate item, the word that can, you call it the D word. I think we don't even want to say it, the D word. And, of course, we recommend very strongly that word should never be in the vocabulary of a couple who wants to make their marriage work. You don't use it. But, you know, people do that. They bring, maybe he learned to do that. Maybe he saw that in his family. I don't know. But obviously there has to come a point where we get that word out, because we're focusing on the actions that are going to move us in a way to make the marriage work. And so, Kaylee, I think that at the end of the day, if I hear your heart saying, I want this to work, but my heart is aching and it's been hurt and damaged, and I hear you say about him that he too wants to make it work, but when things get tough, you don't know how to communicate, there's this pattern of falling into, you know, kind of destructive use of the word, the D word, or other kinds of things. I think acknowledging that and then finding a really top-notch, godly counselor, someone who can help you, a communications type of coach, who can just help him and help you communicate. I'll tell you what's going to be needed in the process is going to be forgiveness, right? setting of the goals. We talk about intentional living, setting godly goals, knowing God's intention. God's intention is for good communication in marriage. God's intention is for us to be on the same page, to go in the same direction. The scripture said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. God never used the D word with us. He loves us. You know, there's not the divorce word in our relationship with him. And that should be a pattern in our relationship with each other. I would just really encourage you. You're in it into this first year, and marriages often stumble in the first few years. In fact, most divorces occur in the first 7 years of a marriage. And I would encourage you to get to a level where you can talk about the things that really matter, go through a process of forgiveness, and both of you can make a decision to eliminate. I have a word shredder I take to our conferences. And what I do with the word shredder is I ask people to take the words that they use in their marriage that damage their marriage and then get them out of their vocabulary. Hang on, Kaylee. I'm going to have Sally get your address, and I want to send you a book that is going to be very practical. It's full of a lot of content for you. It's called Star for Affection. It talks about the power of affection and love and communication in marriage, and we're going to send that to you as our gift today.
Hey, Randy, this is Chuck. I just want to call and let you know about some intentional living. Been married 16 years, and only took about 13 of those years to realize that my dear, loving wife needs something to look forward to, so about once a month, put something on the calendar. Definitely make it a point, whether it's just to go out for a cup of coffee, or maybe it's to go out and grab a quick bite to eat, that we do that, and that has definitely been something that's benefited our home. Since we've started doing that. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Hey, listen, you're a smart man, Chuck, and having one thing to be able to look forward to on the calendar is important for all of us, but for our wife, I think, especially. And it doesn't have to be costly. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to drive too far at $5 a gallon for gas. You know, you can do some pretty creative things, but the key is that you're doing something together, making your relationship a priority, your marriage a priority. And I try to do that, maybe not as effectively as I could or should, but I know what you're saying is important. Today we've been talking about communication. Communication begins not only with the words that we speak, but the attitude behind the words, the timing, the meaning, understanding that meaning of words may be different for your spouse than for you, and communicating in a way that really connects with their heart for God's glory, for your benefit, and for the benefit of your marriage. Again, if you have a comment you'd like to share, I'd love to hear it on our storyline, 888-888-1717. And as we wrap up today, I want to thank those of you who've already responded during this hour. Your support is going to mean a lot. Go to theintentionallife.com. Thank you for that. I'm Dr. Randy, gotta run. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.